There's three operating mines, which are Roxby and Beverley in South Australia and Ranger in the Northern Territory. The Honeymoon mine has got approval, but it doesn't have financing yet. And there are a number of other mines which have submitted applications to federal and state government. And there's a huge amount of uranium exploration.
Who do we currently export uranium to?
Quite a few countries. The biggest customers for Australian uranium are the US and the European Union, and also Japan and South Korea.
Under those agreements, what's that uranium being used for?
Well, the agreement is that it's used solely for peaceful purposes, which is almost exclusively nuclear power. But of course, the worry is that it will find its way into nuclear weapons. The safeguard system is such a joke. It's carried out by the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, and even the head of the IAEA acknowledges that their safeguards are fairly limited and efforts to improve the system have been half-hearted.
What do we use uranium for in Australia?
We've hardly got any use for it whatsoever, just exporting it, really. And the Lucas Heights reactor, when it's operating, that also uses just a tiny amount of uranium.
You mentioned uranium mining sites, but are there also sites being scoped out at the moment for waste repositories, and where are they?
Yeah, there's a huge battle going on at the moment over plans to dump the Lucas Heights nuclear waste in the Northern Territory, and Labor promised that it would not impose nuclear dumps on unwilling communities and initiate a scientific process to work out what to do with Australia's nuclear waste. But instead, Martin Ferguson, he's just proceeding with the Howard government's plans to impose a dump on the Northern Territory.
So with that was 2006 legislation by the coalition government then.
Yep.
And that overrides consent and consultation by traditional owners.
Yeah, it's quite extraordinary legislation. It's called the Commonwealth Radioactive Waste Management Act, and it allows for the imposition of a dump even if there's no consultation with traditional owners or no consent from traditional owners. And when it was in opposition, the Labor Party promised to repeal this legislation, but it hasn't been repealed.
The coalition opposition is pressuring for Australia to export uranium to India, arguing that 35% of India's total energy needs could be met by nuclear power plants by 2050. Rudd at the moment has refused to provide uranium until conditions have been met under a US-India agreement. What is the link between supplying uranium for use in power stations and the threat of nuclear weapons?
Well, there's a whole set of connections between nuclear power and nuclear weapons. The most direct is that nuclear power reactors produce plutonium, and that plutonium can be used directly in nuclear weapons. And an example of that is the most recent nuclear weapon state was North Korea, and that tested a plutonium bomb in October of 2006. Then there are all the indirect links. Nuclear power reactors provide a rationale for developing enrichment plants, which can be used to produce nuclear weapons.
Do you see ever a government being able to justify exporting uranium to countries like India?
No, India is one of four countries which are not part of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, the NPT. And the NPT bargain is that the weapon states agree to disarm and the non-weapon states agree to not build nuclear weapons. So the problem with selling to non-NPT states like India, Pakistan, Israel and North Korea is that it totally undermines that central bargain. And if we're going to sell to India, then that just provides an incentive for other countries to drop out of the NPT.
Commentators from India, though, have argued that these agreements are quite hypocritical in what they allow.
They're dead right. The NPT allows for five countries to hold nuclear weapons, and the biggest hypocrisy is that those weapon states are obliged to disarm, but they've conspicuously failed to disarm. So there's a nuclear apartheid at work.
And what are those countries?
The US, Russia, China, France and the UK.
Can you talk me through the carbon emissions and environmental impacts of the entire life cycle of nuclear energy?
Well, even when we include the entire life cycle, which includes energy-intensive uranium mining and milling, nuclear is still a relatively low emissions technology. It might be something like 8 times more greenhouse friendly than gas and maybe 20 times more greenhouse friendly than coal. But if you do some simple calculations, electricity generation is only responsible for something like a quarter of global greenhouse emissions. And if we were to double global nuclear power output, we would be reducing greenhouse emissions by no more than 5%. And even those calculations make the assumption that nuclear is displacing coal, whereas if you compare nuclear with renewable energy sources, then nuclear is more greenhouse intensive in addition to all the high-level nuclear waste that it produces and the plutonium that it produces that can be used in nuclear weapons.
Uranium mining uses a lot of water too.
Staggering amounts of water. The Roxby Downs mine in South Australia uses about 35 million litres every day, and that's having adverse impacts on the Mound Springs, which is where the Great Artesian Basin comes to the surface. And the other type of mining, which we see at Beverley, is called in-situ leach, and that's where they pump an acidic solution underground and dissolve the uranium and bring it back to the surface. And in the process of that, they leave the underground aquifer contaminated with radioactive particles and with heavy metals and with acid.
And yet the former Prime Minister Bob Hawke has said that nuclear power shouldn't be ruled out of a solution to climate change. Do you think that there are obvious other ways that are being overlooked?
Yeah, well, there certainly are. There's a good article in the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists which shows in India a concerted program of energy efficiency measures could reduce emissions and reduce energy demand by as much as India's ambitious nuclear power plans. People who are looking to build nuclear power plants in India or Japan or South Korea or wherever, they're indirectly responsible for continuing this pattern of radioactive racism in Australia, whereby Aboriginal communities are divided and subjected to all sorts of outrageous behaviour from the Australian uranium mining industry. And that applies in reverse as well. I think in Australia we have to think also about the long-term international effects of our uranium industry and all the high-level nuclear waste that's produced around the world from Australian uranium, and the fact that there still isn't a single repository anywhere in the world for the final disposal of this high-level nuclear waste.